Ja, Arthur.
Doesn't a nice office in the meeting. And just in terms of what we discussed. Now, his view is the same as mine, that you have to move, and you need the production, and you have to move at the end of a week or 10 days, and you ought to move now. After you have had a report on whether this last effort is successful or not. It will not be in his opinion nor in mine.
So you think, not a word, not a word, but I think that's right. I think that you're right, but I thought I had to do something or I would be unresponsive to his request. I felt a little niggardly about it. I felt a little bit sheepish asking him to go above 4.4 because it doesn't look like I'm not much of an inflation man. But I thought Meany would appreciate it, at least I hope he does.
Very much. And he said that, and of course he affirmed what you told me, that the union would settle on very little more, just as a matter of principles, that they just don't submit to this company's dictates each time. And, you know, in the interim period, also I got Meany's assurance that he would see to it that if the injunction expired on December 20th, the union would go along with a request for an extension. So you would not be bothered by that interim period, you know, before Congress reconvened. So that wouldn't be a problem. You know, there was one time when this outfit did get some more money. We had a threatened strike when I was Secretary of Labor at Hanford on the atomic energy. And they were taking the same position. And the atomic energy people were saying we needed them and so on. And I finally got them in and I said to them, with the president's approval at the time, I said, now look, you just can't continue to do business with your government the way you're doing it and not accept some reasonable suggestions from us. Because that's not fair. You know, you're here to get a lot of business. We appreciate it, and you're a great contractor, but you've got to show a little element of reasonableness in the picture. And at that point, they did make some readjustments, not great, but enough so that the union honorably could take it. And we got the damn strike agreed upon, averted. At that time, I asked for a postponement of the strike. And we got an agreement to postpone it, and during the postponed period, we got this adjustment all around. Now, maybe that during this injunction period, 80-day period, a little bit of pressure, this narrow gap, which is foolish to have a big labor dispute about, could be bridged. The fellow that I had in mind as a key fellow, who I think is the most reasonable of all the General Electric people, is Russell Day. I was there trying to think of the first name. He's their vice president. He's Moore's boss. Moore is the negotiator, and he's not a bad fellow. He's about the best of the General Electric people that I've ever done business with. He's a fellow I did business with at that time. He's up here in New York at the headquarters. But perhaps that could be pursued a little quietly.
Yeah, you might talk to him someday over lunch,
you know,
just as the president's counselor.
After this is done, I might have a word. Just
now, what should I say when we do this?
Say the country, what you ought to say is that you cannot tolerate a strike, that, you know, the war effort is involved, and that you have no choice but to use the law that is available, the only law that is available to keep production going, and that you expect both parties during the interim period to settle this dispute. Reasonably, I wouldn't get into detail, you know, to make a reasonable settlement of this dispute, cut the national interest demand. But since the war effort is directly involved in this controversy, you have no alternative but to use the only weapon you have, the only means available to you, which is the injunction. And instruct the Attorney General to go right in and get one before the contract expires. The Attorney General ought to be before a federal judge today or first thing in the morning, probably today. And there are letters that have to be prepared, but they have all that stuff in their files. you will need an affidavit from McNamara saying that this stuff is imperative. But they know how to prepare that in the Justice Department. And I confess, I'd make a very simple statement.
Does Meany have control of this union? Will they follow him?
I think so, because what he's planning to do today, the union itself couldn't take on this company. It never has been strong enough. This dates back to Jimmy Carter's days. Jimmy was talked a lot, but they couldn't take him on. And Meany has now proposed to call the AFL-CIO people together and give them a $5 million defense fund. He was going to do that on Tuesday and make this a fight with the AFL-CIO. So the union is very much dependent upon me. Now, you will get some flack from local union fellows who are not familiar with the fact that, you know, you took precautions to make sure this is all right. But that won't hurt either. It will, in the public's mind, indicate that you're acting even-handedly in the public interest. And I think that's a good posture for a president to be in. You have one consideration in mind, and that is you've got a war on your hands. And during a war, our soldiers cannot be denied what they need by anybody, companies or union or anybody else. And that's a very solid position to be in the public's mind. And it's the right position. And this idea of the media agrees with me. The idea, you see, what would happen then would be this. If you went the other route, there'd be a strike. AFL-CIO would need to put up a $5 million defense fund. There'd be a big hullabaloo about it in the public. A big fight, General Electric, the whole of the American labor movement, labor unions would try to pass resolutions. Then one of two things would happen. Either the strike would go bad, and you'd get an injunction. In which event, the company would scream to high water that you're bailing out the union. Or the strike would be going good, better than anticipated, as a result of the AFL-CIO support. In which event, the union fellows, after 5 days, 7 days, and it wasn't settled, and General Electric won't settle in 7 days. Then the union fellows would tell you're breaking their strike, but if you allowed it to go on another couple of weeks, they'd have put the company over a barrel. So either way, the risks are too great for you. And since you know that the head of the union movement has said privately to you through me, that if you're faced with that choice, you have to act now. I'd go ahead and act resolutely, simply, express regret, but say an alternative to vital production necessary for the defeat of this war is involved. You cannot permit an interruption of production.
What are you doing tonight?
I'll be in Washington for the Wirtz's wedding, and I'll be available there.
Why don't you bring Dorothy with you and see if we can't, if you can't go and join some of us up at Camp David.
Fine.
Well, you might get a little preparation, too.
Yeah.
I just happened to think about it. I'll bring you in on this because you were the Pakistan-Indian thing. That war is about to break out again. And I want you to listen to both sides, but you ought to get your expert to bring you up to date this morning so that you are prepared to just sit and listen and then give me your judgment with the group. I'm going to try to get Cy Vance. I think he's sick, but Bob McNamara maybe, and maybe Dean Rusk if he gets back from Mexico. And maybe catching back three or four couples, and we'll stay all night, and then you can come in whenever you need to by helicopter, but I would guess we would leave here after the wedding, 3 or 4 o'clock, and have a little walk, and then have a little war council, and then a few drinks with our wives, and movie, and then sleep late, and have a little church service, and then talk a little more about what we do on peace, and what we do on the Pacific Conference, and I want you to be thinking about, I got a good suggestion from this fella, Roach. I have had him out in Vietnam, and if you get a chance, I wish you'd see him and invite him up to see you. I have the feeling that he has a very good potential here in the White House, that he could, if he has any judgment. I had two memorandums night before last and last night, and they're almost Goldberg memorandums back in the old equal opportunity days about how we can do new things without blowing the lid. One of them was on Cambodia. He said this, that we might have a resolution out at this Pacific meeting that would say that we're all going to be determined that we don't violate anybody's borders. He says that's very consistent with our position in South Vietnam, and that it extends a hand to Sihanouk. Now, I don't know enough about it, but I thought I'd let the state look at it. But state is pretty inflexible on things, and that's something I'd think that you could look at, too, that you're not quite so, you have enough for training and judgment, but you have a little more adventure. Anyway, I'd like for you to know Roach and exchange ideas with him, and I don't think he'll go this week, but I, if you and Dorothy could, I think you might go up. You can come back by helicopter. I'll send you back if you have to any time. If not, we'll come back tomorrow afternoon after dinner.
Is there room for Barbara, who's visiting with us this week?
Yes, I think so. We're not going to, I'll call and see. I'm sure we will. There'll be nobody except couples, though. But if she's with you and needs you, you can bring her. I think we've worked that out. I think there's always plenty of room, but I'll check it and tell you at the wedding if there's some reason that it can't.
If it's inconvenient, of course not. She'll stay in Washington.
That's okay.
Yeah,
bye.
Very good.